Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 20th of February, 2022. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul looked at prepare for personal growth. The reading is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. So go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all. I know some folk, specifically some that live away, have gone, oh, the weather. But if you've braved it and you've made it, hallelujah. That nearly rhymed. Did you get that? That was quite good, wasn't it? It's lovely to see you all. Lovely to be in worship with you this morning. And lovely to say to you, welcome. You're part of our church family here this morning. Whether you're here just for today or you've been here many times before, welcome. Just a couple of notices. They're really relatively simple, but they are as follows. This afternoon, if you look at your notice sheet, it says that I'm leading the service. It's not me, it's Alec. Alec will be leading this afternoon and not myself, so just let you know of that change. Secondly, to say, you will see on after the service, rather, we have tea and coffee. Okay? But we're not going to have it unless we get some help. So Jay is... hi, Jay. He's going to lead our charge, but he'll be a very busy man unless we have some help, both to serve the tea and coffee and to help wash up afterwards. So if you can do that, please feel free. But we can't do that, friends. This is a family thing. And we can't do it unless we as a family pull together. So if you're able to help in any way, please see Jay, go outside and just get stuck in. That would be brilliant. Then to say, on the 6th of March, we have a welcome lunch. Over the past few weeks, few months, God's truly richly blessed the church. And we have people that are new to the area, new to NBC, who've been coming along and trying to finding out a bit about us. So we'd like to invite everybody that's new in any way, particularly over the last couple of years, to be a part of that welcome lunch after the morning service on Sunday, the 6th of March. And we're going to give you an invitation. So if that applies to you and you've not had an invite, can you let me know? And we're going to give one of these to you. And then can you let me or the office know? And the church office phone number is on the invite if you are able to come. The reason for that being, I don't want to buy too many jacket potatoes. And lastly, but by no means leastly, I have in my hand a tube of Smarties. Bigger woe than that, I think. The Smartie tube is full. What this says on the front is really, okay, it's the best description I can think of. It says, raising money for a defibrillator. Remember, we want to bless the town and put a defibrillator out there for its use. Here's the exciting bit. Please eat the contents. And then fill me with up to with 20 p's or any money that will fit, exclamation mark. Mark did tell me he was going to try personally just to put him on the hook because he thinks notes will go in very well. And please return by Sunday the 27th of March. You've got a week. Is that right? I've got that. Oh, no, a week and a month. Got 5 weeks, sorry, to eat your Smarties and fill the tube up. Now, if you're a child, before you even take a tube of Smarties, can you do me one favour? Can you talk to mum and dad? Because actually, we don't know how many we've got. Maybe one of family is a better option and solution. So one of family would seem to us to fit quite nicely. And secondly, even if mum and dad say, no, that's okay, we'll go for that, that's up to them. Before you eat the Smarties, can you check with your mum and dad? Because the last thing I want is emails this afternoon saying, they never ate their lunch because of you, Paul! Exclamation mark. So those are the two things. If you're a child, make sure your mum and dad, whether they want you to take one as a family or more. And secondly, that you can eat the Smarties. Lastly but not leastly, recognising and acknowledging that we have been blessed by many folk over the last few months and couple of years coming. If you've not given us your details, we'd love you to complete a Welcome to Minehead Baptist Church card. They're out in the foyer. And it just gives all your details and said what you'd like, starts to say what you'd like us to do for you. It's amazing, isn't it, when we come together and we worship the Lord. I love, you know that song that says, Holy Spirit, we welcome you? We don't need to welcome the Lord into this building. because he is here. But we do want to welcome him into our worship and into our lives. So that's exactly what we're going to do this morning. Before we begin our worship with Roy and the group, we're going to welcome the Holy Spirit. I invite you to join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for the prayer that we've already shared that says, Spirit, come have your way among us, fall on us, be in this room. But Lord, more than that, we say, may our worship be Spirit-filled unto your honour and glory. May our mission have direction that Spirit-led and honours and glorifies you. May our lives be filled with the Holy Spirit so much that we overflow. And all will see and all will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Holy Spirit, come have your way among us. You are welcome here. If I could, Lord, I just would love, even with my hands, to say the church is open to the possibilities of you through the guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. Come, you are welcome here. Amen.
Amen. Some words of scripture from Hebrews 10. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through this curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So let us enter now. Eternal God, we come to you.
And Lord, that is our prayer. Our prayer that our praise may be unbroken, that our lives may speak of praise of you. Lord, we acknowledge before we pray for others that that means we actually give you that permission to change us. Lord, may our lives become, may our very hearts become your throne. And may our lives speak of unbroken praise to the one who is and is still to come. All blessing, glory, majesty, praise, honour and worship be yours, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, we come before the Lord in our prayers of intercession. We're going to concentrate on a couple of areas this Sunday for our prayers. In amidst some prayers that have got some amazing words in, there will be a chance for us to reflect on two things. First of all, on the current peace of the world and that whole situation in Ukraine. We're going to pray that it will be God's peace that will prevail in this world. And secondly, for natural disasters. We may have been badly affected. Many have been affected by the storms that are raging here in the UK. But because of our storms, one storm in Brazil has had little coverage in our news. Bad weather has hampered the search in a place called Petropolis. For 4 days, they've had floods and mudslides. Emergency teams have had to suspend their work several times yesterday because of the rain. And they now say there's little hope of finding anyone missing alive. Currently, there are 146 people that have died, at least 26 of which are children, and 191 are missing. So in the midst of our bad weather, we're going to remember them. Come with me, friends, before the throne of God above. Let's bring our prayers of intercession. Great God of small beginnings and hidden revolutions, we bring before you now the needs of our world and the concerns of our hearts. And we do so, Lord, saying, first and foremost, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for those countries where peace and justice are threatened and diminished, where those who would seek to live the values of the dawning kingdom of God are persecuted, where violence and fear control the hearts and minds of citizens and subjects. We recommit ourselves to the ideal that, in the name of Christ, it does not have to be this way. And so we pray for those people around the world in some of the hardest situations who have the voice, albeit maybe small, that dares to speak your alternative of kingdom grace into being. We pray for Ukraine. Father, at the moment all we have is news reports and one person saying this and another person saying that. And Lord, there appears to be no way in many ways that we can know the truth. But we know the one, a Saviour God, that does know the truth. And we bring our prayers this morning before you, who not only knows truth, but is truth. And so we pray the truth of Jesus Christ into the Ukraine, into Russia. And Lord, miracle though it would seem, we pray that both sides would de-escalate things because they have found common ground in the love of Jesus Christ. And I acknowledge, Lord, that seems a big prayer, but you didn't tell us to pray timidly but boldly. And so we pray for peace that passes our understanding, that glorifies you. We pray for those who are seeking peace between unreconciled people, for those who stand out and up for values of justice and equality. And we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Father God, we bring before you those countries in our world where economic circumstances lead to inequality and instability, where the rich and powerful often act in self-interest, whilst the poor and vulnerable are swept to one side. We recommit ourselves to the ideal that in the name of Christ, it doesn't have to be this way. And we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We pray today for those in our own country, Lord, who are suffering in any way, shape or form because of the past weather and the storms of the last few days. And although we may not know them, we bring before you the families of those that have died because of the weather. And as we do so, we acknowledge, Lord, that around the world there are natural disasters that don't make our news headlines. And this morning, we bring before you the Brazilian city of Petropolis. Lord, it seems unbelievable to say that there are probably 340-odd people dead. and that nothing can be done because they only have hand tools and the area is so prone to mudslides they can use nothing else. But we do pray that in the midst of the pain and the grief that city feels, you would be their comforter, their provider, their source of hope. We pray, Lord, that they may see miracle, and that that miracle may be you standing among them. And so finally, Lord, we pray that we who are here at Minehead Baptist Church may become those with the imagination to see the world differently as it is in your eyes. May have our own values transformed into your kingdom values. May become those who are no longer paralyzed by the scale of the problem before us, but are willing to trust you, for whom no problem is too big. May our lives be transformed by the kingdom taking root in and through us. May we become those who take our place and play our part in the transformation and the salvation of the world. And Lord, we respond to that prayer and we add our amen by joining together in the prayer the Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. And amen and amen. Friends, Jenny's going to come and read from God's word, from the second letter of Peter.
Yes, it's 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is short-sighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Thanks be to God.
Amen. I wonder what your week's been like. I wouldn't mind betting that we've all had all different sorts of weeks. I'll share with you one sort of week that someone had. I was talking to Mark, who had to confess that he'd been and bought a lot of tubes of Smarties. I think there's about 90-odd, or is that about right? We think it's about 90-odd. His confession was not based upon any of the fact that he even felt guilty about going into a sweet shop somewhere and buying 90 tubes of Smarties. His confession and his worry was about the fact that they had to restock with a special order. So if Minehead becomes suddenly awash with Smarties, we can all blame Mark. But I wonder what your week's been like. I was talking to our life group on Friday, and I described my week as being a bit like a marathon. Wonder if your week's been like that. Do you know, this week it's been brilliant to meet a lot of different people and hear of their experiences, have wonderful conversations about how they are, about what they're doing, about how things are going. I've had a week which has been filled with laughter and some crying, where good news has been shared and the reality is we've joined in that moment, or where not so good news has been shared and we've ended up crying on each other's shoulder. Anyway, I tell you that to set the scene, because what I'm about to tell you is a true story, and the person that this involves said I could tell you this bit of our conversation. They asked me to leave their name out. I'm more than willing to do that, but if you are that person and you are here this morning, thank you for sharing, letting me share this. As we were sharing our conversation, "How is the Lord with you?" type conversation, they looked at me and they went, "Paul, you're looking tired." And the next words brightened the whole situation. "Do you want another cup of tea?" "Yes." So off they moved into the kitchen and I followed them. It seemed a natural thing to do, to be really honest with you. I followed them. And as they were making tea, we carried on chatting. Anyway, the reason I tell you that is because they said they'd recently been to the doctors because they too were feeling tired. And the doctor had sorted them out. And at that point, they leant over. Now, quite why they were going to whisper in my ear, I don't know, because there was just the two of us in the house. But nonetheless, they leant over. "The doctor sorted me out." "Okay, what does that mean?" "They've given me some supplements." "Okay, what do you mean?" "Vitamins, and most importantly, bran." I'm going to leave you to ponder why the bran. That moment, that one moment this week made me think. And it made me think of this reading that we had, okay? That here, Peter gives us this amazing list. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection and love. That are, in one sense, Christian supplements. "Add to your faith," is how Peter starts. It made me realise that they're the supplements we all need to be on. Having faith is brilliant, friends. Having godliness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, goodness, mutual effect and love, that builds us. That helps us to grow. So I'm going to call them, if this is okay, spiritual growth supplements. And we're directed by Peter, aren't we, to make every effort to supplement our faith with these things. Because without them, we are ineffective. But with them, we are simply effective and fruitful for the Lord. It was amazing to see my son born. Lorraine had been in labour a fair number of hours. She will tell you how many. But the truth is, it was amazing to see him born. And like an all-proud father, I picked up this beautiful son and I went, "It's a baby." Now, what on earth did I expect it to be? But in one sense, the other thing I would say to you is, from that very moment, what became important in our house for several months was how many pounds the baby had put on. Do mums remember those moments? When you'd go and you'd gossip with each other and say, "The baby's 2 pounds heavier this month." Friends, from the moment my son was born, unless there was growth, then he wasn't going to live. And in one sense, that's true of us spiritually. You may have faith, and faith is amazing, but it needs to grow. It needs to live. Because without spiritual growth, there is no spiritual life. And our spiritual growth depends upon our spiritual diet, the supplements to our faith. As one commentator wrote about this passage, he said this: the challenge with the Western church is that many Christians have a spiritual diet that's unhealthy. Indeed, we might even say, if we look at Peter's list, that many Christians are spiritually anorexic. Quite a powerful word to use. But unless we are alive with goodness and knowledge and self, you get the drift. How can we claim to be spiritually alive at all? It's this which makes us grow. Anyway, Peter says make every effort. So let's quickly make some effort, shall we? Add to your faith goodness. Now the word goodness here, according to the Greek scholars, praise be for the fact they've written it down, means moral character. In other versions, the King James, it's written virtue. Add to your faith virtue. And Peter is saying, to your faith, add God's goodness. A Christian filled with the goodness of God is one who stands out from the world, don't they? You've met them. People feel so full of God's goodness, they kind of go, bang. If we Christians decide constantly to act like the world wants us to, then we'll do more harm from the cause of Christ than good. We need to stand out. And if you want to know why, if you've a friend that's lost, that doesn't know Jesus as Lord, unless you are different from the world, how on earth will that friend be incentivized to listen to you when you share the gospel? We have to be different. If there's no moral character in our lives, then we'll be lost. And the lost will be quick to challenge us and charge us with hypocrisy. And in case you hadn't realised it, the world is watching. We think community's not interested, but it is. And if you want to know how, you wait until something goes wrong in the church, and then you see how quickly that is on the news headlines. They are watching. Now, they may be watching because they want us to fall. But the good news is they are watching. And so if we are filled up with the goodness of God, they'll be attracted. And I want to say to the world, you keep watching. And we'll keep being the Lord's. And we'll see who wins. I love this story. It's supposed to be a true story. It's written by a guy called Alan Carr. Not the Alan Carr of TV fame, but Dr. Alan Carr is a Christian minister. He says this: one day, as a woman was crossing a street outside a busy London railway station, an old man stopped her. He said to her, "Excuse me, madam, but I want to thank you." She looked and exclaimed, "Thank me? I don't even know you." He replied, "Yes, madam, I do want to thank you. I used to be a ticket collector here at the station when day by day and morning by morning you'd go through. And whenever you went by, you always gave me a cheerful smile and said good morning." Sweet, isn't it? He goes on to say this: "But I realised after seeing you a while that that smile must come from somewhere inside you. And I had no idea where. Until the morning, I saw a tiny little Bible in your hand. So I bought one, and I found out about Jesus from that Bible, and now I am saved." So that man saw something in that woman that touched his heart. What he saw was goodness, Jesus living in her and through her life. Every single person in this room that claims to be a disciple of Jesus Christ should be the same. And if we're not, guess who we should start by questioning? Ourselves. And you thought it was going to be a simple sermon. Because when we live lives full of goodness, others see Jesus in us. And so my question this morning is, do others see Jesus in the way you act? At work, in the supermarket, in the restaurant, everywhere we go, we should be walking billboards for Jesus. I had a friend, he's a minister, and I won't tell you his name because the story I'm going to tell you, but basically he was in a restaurant and his wife complained about the meal and they sent the meal back and it came back. It was the fifth time of the meal getting to the table and her saying it was wrong and him complaining it's wrong that someone came over and said, "Hello, see you in church on Sunday." It brought the minister up very short. Now, he may have had every right to moan about the meal, but in reality, was he being Jesus in the way he acted? He decided that he could have complained more graciously. So what he did the following day, just to let you know, was to go back and apologise. Guess what happened? They invited him and his wife for a free meal. Not because he'd moaned, but because she'd apologised. Let's keep ourselves up on the goodness of God. And in it says, add to goodness knowledge. Knowledge is a proper understanding of the truth. Not only should we know the truth, but the truth must surely have an impact on how we live. Information is knowledge, but that's not enough. We must apply that knowledge to our life. And that means we must get into God's word, and God's word must get into us. As James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so you deceive yourself, but do what it says. In order to go where God would have us go, to do what he would have us do, and to be what he would have us be, then we must have a proper understanding of God's will. It's a bit like physical well-being, isn't it? Just as certain foods are essential to our physical well-being, so the word of God is essential to our spiritual well-being. And then Peter goes on, and he says, be self-controlled. Add to knowledge, self-control. Supplement number three, we might call it. Now, as Christians, we are to control our flesh, our passions, our natural desires. We are to control those things instead of them controlling us. Self-control is not reacting in the heat of the moment. Self-control is reacting the way Jesus would. It's easy, really. But I wonder if tomorrow what would happen if you, like I, when we encounter those situations and circumstances of life that kind of wind us up, how we'll act. I will confess to my brothers and sisters in Christ, from the day I became a Christian to the day today, I do not have a Christian symbol in my car. And that was because I thought about it once and I realised how appalling my driving was. And in reality, I wondered what would happen tomorrow if someone cut me up or tailgated me. Would I honk my horn or you get my drift? But that's just me. You place whatever you want in there for you. How good would you be maybe if your problem is that someone has got ahead of you for a promotion at work? Would you be gracious enough to go and still give 100% to your job? Or maybe something goes wrong because it didn't arrive on time. What, you get my drift. To our knowledge, add self-control. When you encounter situations like that, all you can do is ask yourself, how would Jesus respond? Or what would Jesus do? Remember the bands that were the craze at one stage? And you could say to me, and someone has said to me at one stage, it's impossible for me to react the way Jesus would. Well, it is impossible if you react in the flesh. But Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 23, that self-control is one of the gifts of the Spirit. So if you and I react not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of God, then it is possible to react as Jesus would. But the proof is that God's already given us what we need. Okay, add to knowledge self-control. Add to self-control perseverance. Christ reminds us, Matthew 24, verse 13, that but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Many Christians give up because circumstances make things tough. But no matter what the circumstance, no matter what he asks of you, no matter how hard it seems, if the Saviour asks it, Be devoted to it and remain devoted to it. Because our Lord is not a quitter. Our Lord, Saviour, Lord, is one that will lead you even when things get tough. It's the enemy that wants us to quit, wants to stop you growing, and he will therefore tempt you to quit. Don't believe his lies. There are many people face difficulty today and who are ready to give up, and some may have already given up, but I want to encourage you to be steadfast. That amazing reading from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And of course, it's therefore. What's gone before? Paul's argument that we're in Jesus Christ. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour will not be in vain. Hallelujah. May we individually and this church stand firm for what the Lord wants, not what humanity prescribes. And then add to perseverance godliness. Now, godliness refers to the Christian who yields their attitudes and their actions to the Lord. Basically, it's saying, add to all of that a reverent fear of God. And if we have a reverent fear of God, and let's be honest, we all should have, then the reality is that person loves, honours, adores, prays, worships and serves the Lord. Hallelujah. Add to perseverance godliness. Godliness requires obedience. And this is what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Amazing. This wise, wise man said this. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the duty of all mankind. Fear God and keep his commandments. And that's how we will add godliness. What about the sixth supplement? Mutual affection, it says. Add to godliness mutual affection. Mutual affection is as simple as obeying the great command of Jesus. Now, if you think it's simple, good luck, well done, come teach me. But the reality is, it is that simple. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, may that be a mantra on our lives. May we love and love and love. Mutual affections. We're to love our family, our friends, our co-workers, our schoolmates, the people who we run into in the shops, into Morrison's or other supermarkets are available because we're going online. I better say that quickly. Well, you know, the people where they're just annoying because they're sort of standing there chatting, they're blocking the aisle, and there's someone behind you, and you're stuck there while they make a decision over the 24 types of yogurt they want. Or whatever the circumstances, God calls us to love them. Oh, boy. In fact, God goes further. Our Lord goes further. Because he says this in Luke chapter 6. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And I read that, and every time I read that, God brings someone to my mind. And if he doesn't do it to you, that's brilliant. But to me, God says, now, Paul, and you go, okay. We are to possess brotherly affection, but these verses take it one step further. And it adds one more thing, doesn't it? Love. But not just any type of love. Agape love. The word here in the Greek is that word for agape. agape love, unconditional love, self-sacrificing love, never-ending love, all-encompassing love, unmerited love. So you have no reason really to love me, but the Lord calls you to do it. And maybe there's no reason for me to love you, but the Lord's called me to do it. And when I started here, the very first Sunday, I told this church that in reality, we would know we was getting somewhere. We would know that the Lord was on the march and he was about to do something. When you guys got so much under my skin, I was in love with you in that agape way. And guess what? You have got under my skin. In that agape, thank you, sister, in that agape way. So whatever God Lord wants to do from here on in is built on love. It's that simple. And we, as a church, must be rooted in love. Because love is what surely motivates you and me to go out and say, this is our Lord. Love drives us. Love's the fuel, really. Unconditional, non-judgmental. It's not our place to condemn anyone, regardless of their situation, regardless of their race, their social standing, their faults, their failures, or their actions. Because as Christians, Jesus calls us to reach out to the lost, to reach out to the backslidden, to disciple the believers, and to serve others. And in order to do all of those things, there must be love. Not just loving those who are easy to love. Although I will confess that I am easy to love. But you know what I mean, don't you? If you don't believe me, but there's this chap called Moses. So listen to the love that Moses had. Now, Exodus chapter 32, verse 32. Moses tells God to blot out his name in the book that God is writing. In other words, the book of salvation. If God could not forgive the sins of the Israelite people. Can you imagine having such love and such a burden for someone that we would be willing to sacrifice our place in heaven so that they could be rescued from hell? That's what's actually happening there. That's Moses' great example, I would suggest, of agape love. Anyway, our time's coming to an end. So simply to say this, don't be deceived. There are no shortcuts to spiritual growth and maturity. I absolutely agree with you if you say it's a long and difficult task, but it's one that you must decisively make. And your ability to move forward depends upon your making that choice. And guess what? This morning's the morning you can make the choice. Bless you, brother. Not for my sake, but for God's sake. If you do it for me, it'll be long lasting. No, of course it won't. It'll fizzle out. But if we do it because God says do it, hallelujah. So I've got a series of questions to ask you. And they're questions I ask myself, really. Remember I started with the story of the lady that kind of made me think about these supplements. I came home and, praise be for Google, other engines are available. But I searched and thought, what questions could you ask yourself based upon? And these are ones I asked me. My own self. So, actually, I'm going to ask them of you. But the am I's are not me, but you get my drift. I'm inviting you to ask them of yourself. Am I comfortable with my Bible study? Am I comfortable with my understanding of God's word? Am I comfortable with my prayer time? Am I comfortable with my personal and corporate worship? Am I comfortable with my current spiritual condition? Am I satisfied with my present experience with God? And to all of them, Peter might say, if you're comfortable or satisfied, you've got to move on. And if he doesn't say it to you, then he said it to me. Which means this whole last 20 minutes could have been absolutely wasted time and I could have been preaching to myself. Because in my life, and I am sure in your life, and I know in the life of this church, there is room for spiritual growth to occur. But we need to desire it and work to achieve it. And if no one else but me wants this, then nothing will happen. It's when we decide that the Lord will use us individually and collectively that we'll see amazing things happen. So let us get to the task, shall we, of adding to our faith those amazing gifts: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. And then I am left with the words of my own grandmother when her life was drawing to the near and the doctor suggested she take supplements herself. And she said this: if I take that many pills, every time I walk, I'll rattle. And everyone will know I'm taking them. And I want to say, may I rattle to God and for God with those amazing supplements. Amen. Friends, we're going to pray and bring ourselves before the Lord in prayer before Roy comes and leads us into worship. Father God, I thank you that you do not leave your children bereft, that we may be saved, but that's not the end of your involvement with us, that you want us to grow and develop. I thank you for Peter's words that remind us that your divine power has given us everything we need for life. And because of that, this morning I commit myself to add to faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly love, and to brotherly love, love itself. And I thank you that you remind us in this amazing words of scripture that if we have those things, we will be moving in your power. For as verse 10 of 2 Peter 1 says, therefore, my friends, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich reward into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So in this moment, as Roy and the group come, I simply invite you to come before your Lord, to ask him to seal the commitment you have made this morning, and for you to say your own amen.
If we want to grow, we've got to draw near to God. So I'm going to ask you to do something unusual this morning. I wonder, when this next song, you most probably won't know, so I'm not going to ask you to learn it. What I'm going to ask you to do is to close your eyes. Listen to the words. They won't be projected. Just listen to the words and use it as a prayer. One thing I have desired, forever will I seek, to behold the beauty of his holiness. And to dwell in the power of your love.
Say to you, hold us close, draw us into you, let your love surround us. And Father God, I pray for anyone here this morning who you have spoken to, who has been prompted by your Spirit, who has that sense of needing to speak to someone, that as we draw our worship to a close, they may come, there may be prayer, that you may be glorified,
that we may listen to each other and the supplements of our faith may be added mightily to all. Amen. Father God, thank you. I pray that by the grace of Jesus Christ, his grace may rest on you. Amen. John's going to come and just share a prayer that God's put on his heart. We'll listen, if that's okay. As John comes, just to share this final prayer, can I remind you of something? That is to say that after the service, we will be serving tea and coffee in the hall. Can I ask you to do, as we've done in the last few weeks, to, if you want to start a conversation about how someone is, or to catch up, can I invite you respectfully to move forward through to the hall? If you find that busy, go find a room elsewhere in the church. I promise you, if you walk up by the side, you'll find several. But actually, if you remain in here, then let's pray. Let's give space for God to do business. John.
Well, that which I received from the Lord, I pass on to you.
Okay, my friend.
There, we're in position, are we? Okay. It's basically speaking, how I praise thee, precious Saviour, that thy love lay hold on me. Thou hast bought and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power. Flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Now this is my prayer, that as we receive the salvation and the love that the Lord pours into our hearts, it should flow into us, but through us and out of us, so that others might see the love of God in us, so that they will be interested to see the salvation of the Lord working in our lives, and they want to know more about it, and will come to us and inquire and ask about God's love and where to and what to do to achieve it. The Lord has put this on my heart, and it just seemed to fit in so well with what Paul was saying, that the love should be flowing through us. So my prayer is that people should see this and want to learn more about God through the way we act and the way we speak with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, John. Peter concludes this brief letter as he begins. If you're a biblical scholar, you'll know that he's begun by urging readers to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. And he ends this letter the same way. He encourages us to get to know him better and better. Because bluntly, friends, no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, no matter how mature we think we are in our faith, no matter, the sinful world will always challenge our faith. We still have much room for growth, every single one of us. And so Paul ends with a blessing that encourages us to grow day by day and draw closer to Jesus Christ. Hold me close, we have just sung. These are Peter's words, and I pray them as a blessing for you. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, now and forever. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.